The first day that we were on the mission trip, the clinics were getting set up, and I heard Steve Dunbar say, "Hey, is there anybody around here who speaks a little Spanish who could come with me? Need to go out to these homes and let people know what's going on so they can come." So I didn't have a job right at that moment, so I jumped in the van with Steve and unrustied some of my Spanish and started going out to the homes and inviting people to come to the clinics. And we had a wonderful experience meeting with the people that day, but we got to the end of the road, and as we got out of the car, we heard a voice calling to us, and we didn't know where it was coming from. And then we saw up in the house, it was a house up on stilts, about 4 or 5 feet off the ground, was a door that opened out to nowhere. It was a door that just went out to nothing. And a woman was sitting in that door on a couch, and she said, "Come over here, come talk to me." So Steve and I went over there, and we told her about the clinic, and then she informed us that she wasn't going to be able to come to the clinic because she was immobile. And we learned later that week that she had been in a car accident previously that had injured her knees, and she got around her house on a bucket, moved around her house on a bucket. But that day and the days that followed, when any of us would come by to say hello to her, she wanted to sing. She was always singing. And this is one of the songs that she sang. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And life is worth the living just because he lives." And I was struck by that as we watched video clips of her singing this song since we've been home. I can't help but realize that in my own life, I find myself finding, because I have a job, I'll face tomorrow. Because I have a nice home, I can face tomorrow. Because I have a family, I can face tomorrow. But it really reminded me, listening to her sing that song, and the joy that she had in her life despite whatever circumstances she faced. And it was because of this belief that was so evident in her life, that because he lives, I can face tomorrow, and that is what life is worth living for.
It's great to be part of a church where all generations worship together, isn't it? Whether you're the littlest ones down in front or the generations older. It's also wonderful to be part of a church that is so concerned about our neighbors. Speaking of neighbors, did you see how many neighbors we had here last week? Were you here last week in church? How many of you were here? Shame on you if you weren't. You missed an absolutely wonderful worship experience. You can say that a little louder. If you were a part of that, God bless you. Thank you for all the time and effort you put into that. It was a high day for us last week, and I think that it'll continue as we prioritize our neighbors here in our community. When I was growing up, Adventist churches on the outside had something similar. And I tried to find this online yesterday, and I just couldn't find it. I even called some Adventist historians I knew, and they couldn't find it. So if you have it, send it my way. But outside of all the churches, there was this oval globe. And on that oval globe were three angels with trumpets extended out. And then across the globe it said, "Into all the world." You know what I'm talking about? And then at some of the churches, if you were a little bit more affluent, at nighttime it lit up, right? Anybody know where I can find one of those? Steve does. In Honduras? Oh, no. Where? Oakwood College still has theirs? Oh, Fulton College. Where's that? Where? Fiji. All right, so next year we're going to Fiji, is that right? It reminded us to go into all the world, right? We find that in Mark chapter 16, this commission that Jesus gives his disciples. But before he gives this commission, he appears on three separate occasions, once to Mary, then to the two, and finally the 11. These precious encounters with Jesus. This morning I want to share with you, through others and through stories and through videos, encounters that we have had as a community together with Jesus. Whether it was just last week, and I'm sure you have your own stories of neighbors you met or friends you haven't seen in a long time or family members that were in church for the first time in months, if not years. Or it was a few weeks ago down in Honduras. This dream of an idea that started right over here in this room about 18 months ago when a group of young adults decided, you know what, there's got to be something more. We want to be a part of another community's life and not just take things to them and be nice to them and give them things they might need, but to learn together and to grow together by living life. And so 3 weeks ago, that dream came true when 34 people, 34 of you, went down there for a week. Now, it's easy to say, oh, that was just that group. But it really wasn't. If you didn't see the excitement on the kids' faces as they saw the fruits of their labors, the fruits of your labors, and I got to tell you, as a family pastor, your kids, they're not competitive at all. And they definitely don't get it from their parents. Our kids raised over $2,000 so that we could go and share the love of Jesus Christ. You've got to say amen louder than that. Amen. This morning, I want to invite Trace and Jen, but really Zach and Maddie, to come up here. And then we have another friend joining us, if all the way from PUC. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. You want to introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
I am Michael Jong. I've been attending Cala Mesa Church for 13 years, and hey, Zach. And I am a freshman at PUC.
Awesome. And your parents are still here. They normally don't stay for second service, but they're here for you.
Nice.
I'm going to talk with Michael here for a few minutes, and then we'll get to you guys. Michael, can you share with us some of your impressions of the trip?
Well, before the trip began, I was kind of anxious about it. I guess I was sad about the fact that I would be working instead of relaxing on my break, but who would have thought that working would have been more fun than relaxing? I mean, getting woken up by an obnoxious rooster wasn't amazing. Bumpy roads that made it feel like you were going to become decapitated, not my favorite. And such humidity that made cold showers feel good got old quickly. But despite all those things, the Honduran people, the kids' smiling faces, and everyone's willingness to help really made the trip amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. You're familiar with our mission statement, loving God and loving people. How has your view of the mission statement changed since you've been down to Honduras?
Well, when the church first came out with this motto, my first impressions were, I mean, yeah, it's a nice motto. I guess they seem to love God and other people. But on this mission trip, I had the chance to experience 34 hardworking Cala Mesa church family showing God's love to the island of Roatan. The dentistry team, medical team, construction team, kids program team, and especially the translators all worked tirelessly to fulfill our church's mission statement of loving God, loving people.
Any favorite memories from the trip?
Oh, let's see. Well, watching my mom zip line was pretty funny. And snorkeling was gorgeous. But my favorite memory of the trip took place while we were working up in Camp Bay at the school. The kids were very excited there. I couldn't tell if it was because we had canceled school for them or if they were excited we were redoing their school. But nonetheless, they were very ecstatic to see us. They eagerly helped us with the tedious tasks, such as scraping paint off the walls and sanding it down. Every time I went to get clean water for the brushes, I was always accompanied by four or five little helpers who loved showing me their muscles while they carried the large buckets.
One last question for you. How has your life been impacted because you went on that trip?
Every day since I've gotten back to PUC, I have thought about how that mission trip has taught me something about myself. Usually when I have to wake up at 6:30 in the morning after being woken up numerous times throughout the night, I will probably have a pretty rotten day. But the people in Honduras either can sleep through a rooster or are genuinely happy people. They might not have the nicest homes or the cleanest water, but they do always have a smile on their face. Maybe not right after the dentist yanked out their teeth, but when they found out this was going to help, their smile returned. Their smiles and happy nature taught me that even when things aren't going the way I hoped or planned, or if I'm going through pain, I know that God is always there for me, just like he was evident in the people of Roatan. Those people in Roatan taught me the two most important things in life, loving God and loving people.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. I want to just show you the church that's here today listening to you. Can you see them?
Yep.
Yeah. And then your parents and your sister are here. Anything you want to tell them before you leave?
I can't wait to see you guys when I come home for summer, and I hope you guys have a lot of food made.
Yeah? Anything in particular you want to eat?
How about some veggie turkey rolls and mashed potatoes? Sounds pretty good right now.
All right. Cool. All right, thanks. You want to stick around and listen to the Hoffers or what?
Actually, I'd like to do that, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, they're the Hoffers.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
And I'm going to grab them a microphone here. Is there a cordless one? All right. So my friends Zach and Maddie, you guys went down to Honduras with us. And we have some questions that we've gone over already, so I'm just going to ask them to you. The first thing is, how was the mission trip different than what you expected?
Well, it was really humid and sticky all the time.
Yeah? You can't even begin to describe how humid it was, can you? Yeah. Maddie, how about you?
There was no hot water, and I got 43 bug bites.
How many bug bites?
43.
43? Did you count each one?
Tell them how many Alyssa got.
And Alyssa got 66.
Where's Alyssa? 66? That's pretty impressive. What's your favorite memory of the trip?
Ziplining and seeing my mom freak out. And seeing Pastor Saul going upside down.
Yeah? Now, hold on, Zach. I didn't ask you for a service, but can you impersonate your mom on the zip line?
Yeah, like this.
Yeah, she was screaming hard.
She was screaming hard, huh? What about you, Maddie?
Snorkeling with the turtles and learning about them.
Yeah? And who told you about the turtles?
Dr. Dunbar.
Yeah, Dr. Dunbar. Integral part of our trip. And then the last one, how did you see Jesus during the trip?
Working at the school, all of us working at the school really hard on Thursday.
Yeah, okay.
Playing soccer with my new friends, Jerito, Joshua, and Nisa.
Yeah, awesome. I want to ask the parents a few questions. Or maybe you can just share. What was it like before you went down and then there and coming back for your family?
I'll answer that
one. Be careful how you share.
It was a real honor to go as a representative from this church, although even to the last day before we left, I wasn't positive we were going. We won't mention any names, but there's a certain few, one of us, that's not really sure about leaving these wonderful lands of the United States. or going to other countries, or flying for that matter. So I think Isaac was on pins and needles, as was I, wondering if the Hoffers were going to make it. And we did.
Yes, they did.
It was a great trip, and I'm so glad that we went. I'll let Jen share a little bit about that.
I was, bar none, out of the 34, 35 of us that went, the absolutely most nervous and apprehensive and skeptical of the people that went. And I don't know if it was all of what Trey said, because it's true. And I don't know if it was being a mom and taking your kids somewhere that you didn't know, and you didn't know if they were going to be safe or sick. But the experience that I had there, I was shocked on Sunday, because I was actually sad to come home. Hmm.
Can you say that one more time?
It's kind of like childbirth, and I think in a year I might not remember and want to go back readily. But, you know, I wasn't sure. I'd never been on a mission trip, never in high school and never in college or dental school. I had never been, and I wasn't sure what to expect from a mission trip. And my thought on going, I wanted to be God's hands and feet, and I wanted to have Zach and Maddie see that emulated and how to live. And I saw God working in Nathan and Cherry translating, and in Dr. Parker and Dr. Philman and Grace and Trace working tirelessly doing dentistry, and in Michael and our college kids and Kathy always having a smile on their face when they were doing the kids' ministries. And I saw God more in our group, and it was just so nice to see that it made me feel like we can do anything when he's with us, and we can be his hands and feet.
Awesome. Thank you. Something else?
Yeah, I also just have to say again, since Michael's still with us, Michael, I can't wait for another trip with you, because that was just, you guys added so much excitement to everything we did. It was an honor to see our young kids, and Alyssa is the other young kid, interact with not only our young adults from this church, Michael and the others that went, but also to see them interact with the children of that area. You'd never know there was much of a difference between cultures because of the way these kids all acted together, and it was phenomenal. I think the thing that stands out the most in my mind after being there all week, because dentistry here doesn't seem very important compared to what we saw down there, but the last day when we came out and on the vans, they had written in the dust how much they loved us and how much they thanked us for what we had done, and I think that I'll never forget that picture.
Awesome. Thank you. Can you give all of them a hand? You want to stick around some more and stay with us in worship, or you need to get going? I can't hear him.
Church.
All right, cool.
Yeah. I'll see you guys later.
Thanks. He was ready to go, wasn't he? Easter weekend or a trip to Honduras are just small parts of a wide variety, diverse set of ministries we have here that we're intentional about in connecting with our neighbors. I don't even know where to begin, but I am so happy because I have the pastoral responsibility, or the privilege, to be the new pastor for Community Reach. And if they can get it up on the screen, or if not, I'll just spell it for you. It's C-O-M-E, Unity, U-N-I-T-Y. And we've wanted to be careful about the name of our ministry because it's important in what we do. And we want to be agents of change for God's kingdom. And we want to bring unity in the community that we live in. And in the next several months and 2 years, actually, as we form these ministry teams and as we solidify how we're going to minister, we've, as you've already read or heard, kind of adopted the three-block principle. This idea that we're going to really focus in on the next 2 years, three blocks around us. Now, I don't know if you've looked at a map of Cala Mesa recently, but as in all things that are in Cala Mesa, it's interesting. Because our blocks aren't really defined very well. Three blocks going this way will take you all the way over to County Line Road. But three blocks going this way will only take you down to 5th or to the golf course. So we're going to, you know, work with that. But the idea is that we really want to get to know who our neighbors are and to witness to them and to share with them and to live with them. Now, that's not to say we don't have other projects that we're not going to be part of, which we do, like Honduras or House of Decision or Villa Cala Mesa. But that's going to be our focus. One of the things that I'm really excited about, and some of you have been asking me for a couple of months now since we've announced it, is our community garden that we're partnering with the Chamber of Commerce on. And you may have read in the paper, or you may have seen around campus here, that this weekend, in fact today and tomorrow, they added tomorrow just for us, they're doing a dig into the garden event. It's a get to know what the garden's all about event. And at our planning session, they said, well, you guys are one of our partners talking about us, and your members probably won't come out on a Saturday, so we'll have to do a Sunday just for you. Said, okay, sounds good. Now, being part of Good Neighbors means that we'll show up, all right? I'm not getting convinced here. Being part of Good Neighbors means we'll show up, right? That's right. So Alfred's going to get his big school bus from MGA, and he's going to go to your house and pick you up. No. But it does mean that we are going to be part of the community we live in. We're getting better at it. And it was evident last weekend when we saw so many of our neighbors here. And I hope that we'll continue to hear stories from last weekend and weekends to come. I want to share with you a few of the things that we're learning through this journey. Whether it's the video that Dustin showed a couple of weeks ago or the various ministries we have, we're finding that if we have a great grasp of our theology, even if our community is filled with the best group of people on earth, which we are, all of that really doesn't matter if we approach someone with the intent of recruiting them to a certain theology or to a certain church. Because as soon as that happens, and that is your frame of mind, then we've shifted our conversation and our relationship from a friendship and a fellow journeyman into one of a marketeer, and the conversations become a pitch. Now, I'm not saying that we don't want to invite our friends to a life-changing experience with Christ, but I am saying they can smell us a mile away if they know that our intentions are not to love them first. Because that, it truly is the call of Jesus Christ, to go out and love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not exactly quite sure, and I'm pretty sure the board's not either, what the next 2 years will hold for us as a faith community when we really take our neighbors seriously. I anticipate great things to happen here. I anticipate that the kingdom of God will come alive and our excitement will continue. But I also realize that communities are evolving. I realize that communities are now being defined by shared missional and ethical commitments rather than theological understandings. What does that mean for a church community as we try to minister to a culture with that mind frame? We love, we serve, and we care for those people God has placed around us in the hopes that they'll see Jesus in us. They'll hear us speak of him often and be drawn to him. As we extend our lives, we extend our lives missionally. We introduce or reintroduce our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, our family members to the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. That promises a future of hope, a good hope. So where do we go from here? We've had these wonderful weeks. We anticipate wonderful things in the future. And I wonder if I can just leave you with two things to think about. The first is to cultivate our hearts for our neighbors. Our neighbors here. Because this is where God has put us. He's calling all of us to be agents of change, but we're finding that our culture seems to be driven by those that are in the 20s and 30s. Whether you look at Facebook or Twitter or what some of the demographic groups that the hip companies are hiring, they really target the 20s and 30s. But I'm wondering if all of us as a church family can really look at what it means to have a heart for God's people in this community. The second is to figure out how your calling and your job fits into loving this city and the people here. Now, some of us are retired or some of us don't have jobs yet, but we have our life calling as well. So how is it that our life calling can be molded, can be stretched, can be used to love the people of this city? Everything that Jesus did was done in a social context and a political context. He cultivated a micro community and he transformed a society. And as we love that God, and as we love these people, I hope that we will continue to journey together, being a community of believers that yearn for and will be agents of change for this city and the cities of Camp Bay and Diamond Rock. I'm not quite sure, like I said before, what these next 2 years hold for us as we have an outward focus. But I'm pretty sure that it's going to be a wonderful 2 years. It's if we hold on to God and allow him to change our perspective in the world we live in.